Ganley. This is NHPR News at 9:06.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. Last year, half a dozen states have raised their gas taxes, and soon New Hampshire will join them. Governor Maggie Hassan says she'll sign the bill for a 4-cent increase when it comes to her desk. The Granite State and others have struggled for years with how to pay for infrastructure. Once reliable highway funds from Congress have become less generous and more uncertain, and federal gas taxes haven't gone up in 2 decades. Meanwhile, Americans are driving on roads not built to withstand the amounts of heavy traffic they experience today, and the wear and tear is starting to show. That was the argument that won the day in the New Hampshire legislature, with even some typically tax-averse lawmakers voting in favor of paying more at the pump if the money is guaranteed to solely go to infrastructure. Today in The Exchange, the road to the gas tax in the Granite State and what happens next. Also later, a proposed constitutional amendment to prohibit discrimination based on sexual orientation. But first, let's hear from you on the gas tax. Do you think this 4-cent increase is the right step, or would another approach be better? Where do you hope the new money goes? Where shouldn't it go? Give us a call. The Exchange number, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. Facebook is NHPR Exchange, all one word. With me in studio, 3 guests. Gary Reno is here, State House reporter for the Union Leader, and New Hampshire Sunday News. He's been covering both of those stories that I mentioned. Gary, thank you for your time. We appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. Good to be here, Laura.
Also with us, Gene Chandler, Republican House Minority Leader and a longtime state representative from Bartlett. Representative Chandler, good to see you. Thank you.
Good morning.
Also with us from Portland, Maine, Pat Moody, Manager of Public Affairs and Traffic Safety at AAA Northern New England. And Pat Moody, welcome back to The Exchange. Thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Well, talking about the gas tax, Gary, this has been a long discussion in the legislature, right? I mean, this is not anything new.
Well, no. I mean, last time we raised a gas tax was 1991. Since that time, there have been certain attempts. But, I mean, this has been the last 2 years have been the first real serious attempts to raise the gas tax. If you remember back in, I think, the first reelection campaign for that John Lynch, former Governor John Lynch had, he was running against a state representative named Jim Colburn, who made the mistake of going on Close Up on Channel 9 and saying he could support a gas tax. And the barrage of ads came down, and so nobody ever really seriously proposed a gas tax when John Lynch was governor. So we have a change in the governors, and we had gas tax proposed last session, which was 15 cents. It ended up being 12 cents. The House passed, the Senate killed. And then when the Senate killed it, Senator Jim Rausch from Derry, who is the chairman of the Transportation Committee in the Senate, said we really need to do something, and he begged the Senate president to let him come back with a proposal. So he came back this year with a proposal for basically a 4.2 cent increase in the gas tax.
Wow, so a lot of political history there. So yeah. Once John Lynch made this a campaign issue against his Republican opponent, he couldn't raise it, even if he later on thought it might have been a good idea.
Right. I mean, and I think maybe the last 2 years he was serving, he might have considered it, because, I mean, things were getting pretty bad out there in terms of the highways and bridges and so on. But if you remember, that was when we had the very large Republican majority in the House and Senate, and that just wasn't going to happen.
And then, as you said, Gary, last year the House came up with this 15-cent increase. Now, not 15 all at once, implemented over a couple years. And then that got put down to 12, and that was still too much to swallow for some folks.
It was, particularly in the Senate. I mean, it did pass the House. Not by an awful lot, but it did pass the House. It was a 4-cent increase over 3 years. And the Senate just blew it out of the water. It had a very poor vote in the Senate. And then they turned around and did what they – a parliamentary maneuver. So actually you can't bring it back in the second year of the session. But Senator Rausch got up and made this impassioned speech on the floor saying, we've got to do something. We have to do something. And I'm asking the Senate president to consider this, that this won't be a 12-cent increase. It will be something else that I'll bring back.
And there are a couple particulars of this bill that we'll get into, including the fact that it's supposed to sunset in 20 years. We'll talk about that in a minute. Yeah, so Representative Chandler, you've been in the House for a long time. What's the feeling been, especially among Republicans, about raising the gas tax?
Well, there's kind of a number of issues. The gas tax is one thing. I will sit here having served my whole career, 30-something years, on the Public Works and Highways Committee in the House. And so I'm very familiar with the condition and of our roads and bridges, and they do need work. No one really, I say no one, you'd be hard-pressed to find anyone that would disagree with that. The problem that many of us have isn't so much with the tax. There was a problem with that, especially we've seen the gas prices going up 6 cents this week, and now we're on top of this. Other folks have used, well, if you drive 10,000 miles a year, well, who drives 10,000 miles a year in New Hampshire? Very, very few people. But getting past all of that, the reasons that myself and most Republicans objected to this bill were things other than the actual gas tax itself. And want me to explain those?
Yeah, okay. Please.
Among them, you know, for instance, the cities and towns get 12% of the revenues from the highway fund. They're not going to get that the first year. So there is no money going to the cities and towns for the first year. Okay. In this bill, stuck in the Senate, was a removal of one of the tolls in Merrimack. Well, there's a lot of problems with that, and the House had addressed that in the 10-year highway plan, which is before the Senate now, on how we thought we should proceed with that, and it was an orderly approach. There's a myriad of problems with trying to do something like this, just taking off one toll. Upsets the whole apple cart. Turnpike is separate than highways. That's almost a whole other subject in itself. It's not the proper place to have something like that in a gas tax bill, in many of us' opinion. The other thing, and I think this is almost the key thing, or one of the key things, that 42% of the revenue from this tax is going to the Route I-93 project. The I-93 project is critically important, should be a priority. The House has given $50 million in the 10-year plan to finishing 93 towards that. I just don't think that most of the constituents in the state that are going to be paying this realize that 42% of what they're going to pay of this increase is going to go to a project in the southern part of the state instead of their own secondary roads. And then the biggest thing, I guess, of all probably, is the legislatures, and I say this, mismanagement of the laws that we've passed governing use of highway funds. In 2008, we wisely passed a law limiting how much money could go out of the highway fund to other agencies.
It's siphoning off. People said the highway fund is being used like an ATM.
Yeah. So we wisely passed something that said the department, other departments are limited in what they can get. Well, two of the last three bienniums, Republican and Democrat both, we have gone against that. We have abdicated our responsibilities, in my opinion. And I think that's what makes people uneasy. There is nothing to say, nothing, if we get into the next budget, that all of this gas tax money could be used for other purposes. And until we can manage our own house and say, look, this money should go to the highway fund, it should go to roads and bridges, and until we do that, I think people should be suspect of what's going on.
So the money, Representative Chandler, in your opinion, was not cordoned off safely enough. Put in that lockbox, if you want to use that.
Well, yes, you can't do that because the legislature can unlock the lockbox any time you want to, short of a constitutional amendment, which people are starting to talk about again, strengthening 6A with some other procedures, which will effectively put it in the lockbox. Because quite honestly, we in the legislature have not shown a willingness to comply with what we know is the right thing to do. So all this money, and as I say, you call them diversions, but the money over and above the law we passed in 2008 represents $38 million in highway funds, which should have gone to the highway fund, which didn't. That's $38 million.
It's been an ongoing discussion.
It's not the complete answer, but it would go quite a ways towards solving the problem.
All right, and we'll definitely pick up on a couple of those points that you made, Representative Chandler. But Patrick Moody, I want to get you into this. How does New Hampshire's move to raise the gas tax after more than 20 years fit into the bigger picture of what's happening with road funding around New England?
You know, I agree with a lot of what's been said already. The path to better transportation infrastructure, it does need to include more resources, and there's been no debate that we need more resources, but it also calls for better utilization of those resources. In 1991, when the last gas tax was moved, I was trying to figure out who I was going to go to my freshman semi-formal with in high school. So it's been some time. There has been not a lot of movement at the federal level, and that's been tough because I believe about 28% of the funds, the highway funds in New Hampshire, come from federal funds. So there's been so many competing interests in Washington D.C. that the there isn't a long-term funding source there. So it turns back to the states and how are you going to fix and resolve your problems. And there was significant activity in the motor fuel category, according to the National Conference of State Legislatures last year. And there was five states that actually enacted gas tax laws, and two of them were close to us, with Massachusetts and in Vermont. Maryland was also in that, Virginia and Wyoming. So there's been a lot of movement. We've seen a three-cent increase in Massachusetts. Vermont is an interesting one where they wanted to try to find a way to build the gas fund up, but also to make it so that it stabilized the revenues against, it made it more price sensitive, because we know that the gas tax is a small portion of the actual cost of a gallon of gas. So they were trying to find a way to stabilize it against that.
You know, Patrick, what do you think about one of the concerns that Representative Chandler raises, that here in New Hampshire, 42% of the money is going to go towards this one project? And, you know, I've heard people from the North Country and from Western New Hampshire saying, you know, that's great for you, but I'm not going to drive on that road but twice a year.
I think, it is the lifeline. It's the main artery that brings goods and services into the state of New Hampshire. So it is a vital major component to it. It's definitely something that needs to get done, and this is one of the funding sources that they're going to have to use to make it happen.
Representative Chandler, what do you think about that? I've heard businesses and others say, look, even if you never drive on I-93, you've benefited because of the increased economic benefits of having a better road there.
Absolutely. As I said earlier, I-93 should be a priority. There's no question about that. The fact of the matter is, as I said, we, the House Public Works and Highways Committee, and the House voted almost unanimously, I guess, to put $50 million in the 10-year highway plan to do I-93.
Already.
Which, I don't know exactly how much they're going to be able to spend in 2 years, but we can come back in the next 10-year highway plan and give money to finish that project. So that's the point, is I don't think people realize, or some of the reps realized, or their constituents realized, that the money that they were looking forward, we hear the complaints about their little secondary roads, and they're bad. 42% of the money they're going to be paying at the pump for whenever is not going to go to their own roads.
All right. We will start taking your calls in just a moment. This is The Exchange on NHPR.
This is New Hampshire Public Radio, 919. Good morning. NHPR is looking at the challenges facing colleges and students with a special series, A Matter of Degrees, considers falling enrollment numbers and rising debt loads and the effects it all has on New Hampshire's economy. Join us all next week for A Matter of Degrees on NHPR and at nhpr.org. The series made possible with support from the Dairy Field School and EdVest in You. More on the implications of the state's first gas tax increase in 20 years on The Exchange, then a 10 on the Diane Rehm Show, and aging infrastructure and the need for a new era in transportation policy. Support for NHPR comes from you, our listeners, and from Cole Gardens in Concord, helping families start edible gardens with herbs, vegetables, fruit trees, and advice, helping you decorate with living color, online at colegardens.com. And Vineyard Brands, importers of Marcus de Cáceres wines from the Rioja region of northern Spain. Information on the web at vineyardbrands.com. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, raising the gas tax. Some of the details and discussion around a coming 4-cent increase in the per-gallon tax here in the Granite State. And a little bit later, we'll be looking at a proposed constitutional amendment to add sexual orientation as a group protected from discrimination. Right now, though, give us your thoughts, questions, comments about this gas tax increase, some of the particulars that we're hearing about it. 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. You can also find us on Twitter. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. Jean Chandler is here, longtime state representative from Bartlett, Republican House Minority Leader. Pat Moody is also with us. He's with AAA Northern New England. And Gary Reno, State House reporter for the Union Leader in New Hampshire Sunday News. And gentlemen, here's an email from Marjorie, which says, we need to find new strategies for supporting our roads and bridges. As an owner of numerous hybrids, as well as a very heavy electric car, my cars use less gasoline than many others on the road, but probably drive an equal number of miles. She says the vehicles utilizing the roads are evolving, and the way New Hampshire finances the roads need to evolve to keep up with the changes. Marjorie, thank you. I know this is a point that's been discussed a lot. in this conversation. Pat Moody, I think to you first on this. We need to find more creative ways in the gas tax.
Right on, Marjorie. Definitely, in the short term, increasing the gas tax is the most effective way to generate the money needed. It's definitely proven politically challenging. It is not the long-term solution. We do need to find a successor to the motor fuel, and we're going to need to be able to really adequately fund and sustain and grow our system. She's right. Fuel-efficient cars and also cars that don't even use gas. So how are we going to attack it from that perspective? We do need to find a successor to the motor fuel tax.
Like her electric car. Marjorie, thanks for the email. So just really quickly, Pat, what are some of the options that other states are looking at?
You know, one of the things that's being explored out west is a vehicle miles traveled tax. That initially was deemed to be extremely challenging because of the technology that would have to be in place. But there's also some other issues with possibly fraud or privacy, you know, privacy, knowing where these cars are and how far they've traveled. So I think as technology evolves, that might become more of a possible solution.
Gary, what's other sorts of conversations came up in the legislature around the gas tax and Marjorie's point about new options?
Well, the legislature has been studying it for some time here for the last 4 or 5 years. They've had a committee looking at alternative ways of looking at raising money for the highway fund. And the issues, I mean, they're bringing up, the better the efficiency, the electric cars and so on. The other problem is the federal gas tax also is sort of having some of the same problems. So the federal money that you used to depend on now is either flat or a little
or declining.
Less. Or declining what you have. I mean, we tried a couple of years ago. They had a surcharge on registrations, which was very unpopular. And another thing they did was raise the vanity plate price, things like that. We've had one-time fixes here for a long time. That's one of them, the surcharge. We sold a highway to the turnpike system and all sorts of things like that. I mean, there's been a lot of discussion, but nothing has been really settled on. Nobody's really looking at one or two things.
Beyond
the gas tax. Although this whole issue with the miles traveled, I think it's Oregon or Washington that uses that. And with the technology today, it's a lot easier than it used to be to do something like that.
Representative Chandler, as I said, you've been on the Public Works and Highways Committee for a long time. What's being talked about on that committee in terms of alternatives?
Well, that committee and others, I think, especially with the increase in propane, liquid gas, hydrogen, all these other alternative fuel vehicles in addition to just the regular hybrids, obviously cars are getting more mileage, so even gas vehicles. So that's one consideration. But these alternative fuels, something we need to do something about that because now there are getting to be a great number of them and they aren't paying anything, or leave alone their fair share. So how that's going to be incorporated, I'm not sure, but that's being looked at. And once again, it's a little difficult to figure out. Do you charge everyone the same amount of money so the person that drives the 10,000 miles a year is going to pay $100 and the person that drives 100,000 pays that? So those are some of the problems. I think we will definitely have some kind of a proposal in this next legislative session. And I'm guessing whether it'll probably be on the registration fee of those vehicles probably because that's one way to – the easiest way probably. So I definitely believe there will be something forthcoming in the next year.
Gary.
We had a bill this year, Jan, if I'm right here, I think I am. We had a bill this year that would set a tax on natural gas that I think went through the House. I'm not sure that it's passed the Senate yet, and it may not, but there's attempts to deal with this issue.
All right.
So I really think something will be done because it is and it's good that people are using these vehicles, but they're using the road, so they need to pay for it.
All right. Thanks for the email, Marjorie. The email address is exchange@nhpr.org. Phone number 1-800-892-6477. And Michael's waiting in Newmarket. Hi, Michael. You're on the air. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you very much.
Sure. Go ahead, Michael.
I was just calling. I support the gas tax. I think it's unfortunate they didn't pass it at 12 last year. But I know the problem is that people basically don't trust the legislature, I think as Rep. Chandler brought up, in terms of keeping it in the lockbox. I think people have no problem paying to have better roads if the funds that they were paying for were actually going towards roads. But, you know, they passed the law in 08, and since then they've been diverting a lot of those funds from the existing tax to other uses. Now, the law was set for this tax to be very specific, and near term it will be until there's a change again. I really think that they would be better off with a constitutional amendment making sure that this tax was clearly a gas tax associated with transportation uses.
Michael, thanks a lot for the call, and I want to hear from everybody on this. But Pat Moody, you first. You know, Michael's tapping into a sentiment that Representative Chandler presented before as well, that, you know, people are fine paying a gas tax if they know it's going to go to those bumpy roads or those suspicious bridges. But beyond that, you know, they don't want it diverted. Is this an issue that has come up elsewhere, Pat Moody?
Yeah, it has. And you know what? Our members report the same thing. They don't have a problem paying as long as it's spent wisely and that it's not diverted to use for its intended purpose. And I think one good thing about or a couple good things about this bill in New Hampshire is the fact that they have put some protections in place where the funding is going to go to roads and bridges. All this new money that's generated by this 4.2 cents is going to roads and bridges. It's not going to be able to be diverted. Plus, they also put in a language to call for a study on the efficiency of the Department of Transportation to make sure all those funds are being spent wisely. So those are real positive things here.
Well, go ahead, Pat. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, Representative Chandler, when this has come up in the past, this issue of diversion and the issues that Michael, our caller, raises, people have said on the other side, yeah, but it's being diverted, quote unquote, to the safety department, which patrols the highways and keeps them safe. So that's legitimate.
And other departments. And the diversions, if you want to call them diversions, of the money that has gone to safety, for the most part, has been ruled constitutional by our Supreme Court. So the troopers out on the road, that's been ruled a constitutional use of highway fund money. It's some of the other uses in the Department of Safety and other departments that people have questions. And I will disagree with Pat on the issue of that this is protected money. It is not. The bill says that's where it's going to go. The day after this bill passes, the legislature could take that money and do whatever it wants just by saying notwithstanding the provisions, which is what it's done twice. I will point out that those in the previous two bienniums, this one and the one before, that money was protected also, but the legislature chose to divert some of it into Department of Safety and others. And some of the other departments that we have is Department of Justice, Highway Safety Administration, the AG's office, the judicial branch. So the money goes to a lot of different places. And some of that, as I said, some people argue nothing should go to safety. Well, we could make that argument. And Jeb Bradley has a bill in the Senate and is over in the House now, which starts along that process by saying some departments can't get highway fund money. So that's a step in the right direction. But if you take the $78 million that safety is getting now and just say, you got to replace it with something because we all think we need troopers, or most people think we need troopers out there. So that's the question is, what do we do? And that's why the bill was so, I think, such a good idea that we passed in 2008 the law that restricted percentage-wise how much the Department of Transportation got, 26%, and that was it. And 73%. I mean, safety got 26%.
So at least it was spelled out.
Right. But as I said, and that was done, but twice it's been violated and by the acts of the legislature. So people, this money that we just passed as an increased gas tax is no safer than what the legislature wants it to be.
Our phone number again for you to join us, 1-800-892-6477. As we look at this new gas tax increase bill and some of the details included in it, let's go next, gentlemen, to Don in Concord. Hi, Don. You're on The Exchange. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you.
Go ahead.
I'd like to start with, I was once, you know, a proponent of the gas tax. I thought that it was the right thing to do. You put it at the pump and then everybody pays it. Since your guest have brought it up, we have all these alternative fuel vehicles on the road that aren't paying that tax. I think the conversation, I mean, the legislator is what it is. The conversation around what to do to generate funds is very different than getting people to put the funds in the right spot. So, I mean, my feeling is to just everybody registers their vehicle. Why not have a tax at the point of registering your vehicle that everybody pays the same amount? Doesn't matter where you drive. I mean, doing a mileage tax isn't going to work because, you know, what if you live on the border and you're commuting back and forth in Massachusetts? Those are extra miles aren't being spent on New Hampshire roads. I think that just the general when you register your vehicle every year, there's a certain amount of money that everybody needs to pay, and then you can have the argument about where the legislators are going to put the money.
Question for you, Don, and I appreciate you calling in. So there's the fairness issue, though. Like, let's say they raise the registration to $50. I don't think it would go that high, but let's just say. And let's say you drive, 30 miles to work every day on the roads. I live really close to my job. Most days I don't drive. I either walk or ride my bike. But you and I are both paying $50. So you could say it's not fair to me because I'm not banging up the roads as much as you are. What do you think?
Well, I don't think that you should look at it that way.
You shouldn't look at it that way because...
Yep. If you look at that 1 mile stretch of road between your house and your work.
Sure.
And you have a vehicle and there's an issue where you've had an accident or whatever and a police officer needs to help you out. So what you're paying for is the ability to get the service on where you're traveling, not how far you're traveling.
And
so
also,
nobody would dispute that, it's not worth more money for me to have to pay for medical services or emergency services than it would be for you, depending on what you're driving.
Gotcha. And Don, I'm not trying to argue with you. I just wanted to present that
and
get your thoughts on it. Yeah. Thank you for calling in. Gary, there's also the point that, even if you don't drive at all, if you live downtown and work downtown, you are still reaping the economic benefit of having a strong road system.
Right. I mean, you're getting the taxes from the business and community and from the various other rooms and meals tax and all that, which is only available because you have highways and people can get here, there, and whatever. I mean, the idea with the gas tax has always been that it's been a user fee, that you pay for what you use. The more you drive, the more you pay.
That's why it's been politically palatable.
And now we're talking about something like a one-time charge on the registration, and you said 50 probably wouldn't be that. I suspect it'll be a little higher than $50.
Really?
If you're going to try to make up the difference between the gas tax, if you're not going to have any gas tax. I mean, I think you're going to have some kind of hybrid there with gas tax registration and some sort of offset for something like that.
Yeah, Pat Moody, I'm interested in this idea that our caller raises and that our guests have raised possible higher registration fees coming in the future. It feels like less of a user fee for folks, but still politically acceptable. What do you think? I'd love your thoughts, Pat.
Yeah, I think politically it is extremely unpopular. Technically, it's easy to do this type of thing, but both publicly and politically, it's unpopular. And it, like Gary mentioned, it's only going to work if it was a very high increase in that type of fee. And some states they're looking at it differently. Probably might be a little bit better fit for what the caller was talking about. But truly, it is you need to have a user fee. The more you use it, the more you pay. But some states are actually looking at it as a general sales tax and possibly tagging on a general sales tax to pay for the road systems as well.
Yeah, I've heard about that in other states. That's not going to happen in Virginia, though, Pat. As you know, we don't have a broad-based sales tax.
Yeah, that's true. Virginia is the one that worked that out. So, yeah, it wouldn't work as well in New Hampshire.
Let's take another call. This is Ron in Gorham. Hi, Ron. Thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
Yes, yes, ma'am. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Sure.
What I'm worried about is the the gas tax and the money that comes from that. But the retirement fund is under great scrutiny, and they're behind on they're in a quagmire to try to pay for the retirement fund. I'm worried about that money going into the retirement fund for the state workers as well, which I everybody should get their retirement fund. But when a guy's making like $96,000 a year to be retired as a state trooper, it gets out of control. It definitely is out of control. The other thing, too, is that Route 2 going into Gorham and Berlin is really, really, it's a wagon rut is what it is. It's not even a road anymore. I was wondering, would there be any money going into roads like that and trying to get a better system of people coming off I-93 to get into the Berlin Gorham without all these obstructions in the road and bad roads. It doesn't help us up here because we're in a recessed area, And we're going down and down and down and down. There's more for sale signs on businesses and homes and everything because everybody's leaving because they can't afford it up here.
So you could afford, you'd love to have those improved roads. It might help the economy. You know, Representative Chandler, the last time I was in the North Country about 6 months ago, there were some pretty big bumps. Ron's right. What about that? You raised this issue earlier.
There are
pretty big bumps everywhere. But, yeah.
And I think that was one of, there again, some of our and my concern that still exists. Unfortunately, how much is going to be done in the North Country, I don't know, because I don't mean to be repetitive on doing this, but 42% of this money is not going to go into these roads that people thought they were going to go to, and that's a lot of money. Now, how much would have been done if none of that went to the 93 project? I don't know, but it would have been 42% more anyway. So that, I think that's a big issue, that people that are waiting, standing out on the street corner waiting for the paver to come by are going to have a rude awakening because it, in some cases it isn't going to happen. And it's unfortunate because we do need that money, and if we're going to raise it, it should be going to what I think most people thought was its intended purposes.
Well, Ron, thank you very much for calling in. And just to wrap up with you gentlemen on this topic, we're going to turn a corner in just a moment and look at a proposed constitutional amendment. So, Representative Chandler, the governor says she'll sign this. When will we see that 4 cent increase at the pump?
Well, July. Well, second, I guess. Yeah.
Goes into effect July 1st. We'll see it July 2nd. Yeah. Pat Moody, what are your hopes for how this will be spent and, you know, the improved driving experiences that we might have here in northern New England?
You know, that you said that when we see it at the pumps, first off, you may not see that translation at the pumps. You never, you know, like I said, it's a small portion of what you pay for a gallon of gas. So we saw in Vermont when their gas tax went up, it didn't actually translate through the way we thought it would. So you're not going to automatically see 4 cents go right onto the pump come July 1st. But yeah, we need to make our roads better. We need to make them safer for our families, less congestion. The potholes out there are rattling our cars loose. The average motorist is reporting that somewhere between $100 and $3,000 worth of car damage each year because of the roads that we're driving on. So fixing these roads with this, you know, Senator Rausch put it, it's about $16 a year is what it's going to equate to for the average driver. It's gonna really go a long way instead of paying that repair to your engine or your suspension or your tires.
All right. Pat Moody, good to have you as always. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
And Gene Chandler, it was good to see you too. Thank you for your time.
Okay, thanks.
Coming up in just a moment, we'll switch gears. We'll look at a proposed constitutional amendment. This is The Exchange on NHPR.
This is New Hampshire Public Radio, 939. Good morning.
On the next Diane Rehm Show, thousands of U.S. bridges in need of repair and the push for congressional action. Then some thoughts on kindness from award-winning author George Saunders, all coming up on the Diane Rehm Show.
The Diane Rehm Show this morning from 10 till noon on NHPR. Support for NHPR comes from you, our listeners, and support also comes to us from Seacoast Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, orthopedics and team physicians for the UNH Wildcats, providing repair for knee shoulder injuries or for UNH athletes, sosmed.org. And from Mill Falls at the Lake, Four Inns offering Winnipesaukee Lakefront Lodging, 7 restaurants, 12 marketplace shops, the Cascade Spa, and Ecal Lake Activity Center. MillFalls.com. It's 9:40. This is NHPR.